week to continue to build what we were looking at last time. Praise God, from Romans chapter 14, verse 23. Romans 14, verse 23. We were looking, if you remember, that whatever is not of faith is sin. And God wants to set us free in this hour. Many, many ways in which this wonderful thing called faith manifests itself. Many expressions of faith. And one of the things that concerns me, things that God has revealed and exposed in my own life, things I've heard my brothers and sisters say, and we'll use a thing called healing because it's a prime example. Praise God. God wants to set us free because our faith works by love. The significance of faith is that it's an expression, a manifestation, it's a provision of God's grace. God in his grace quickens faith in a time of trial. And a lot of us, rather than being set free with the, and here's the irony, this is, it's just like the devil to work this way. Rather than being set free by God's grace, by a faith that works by love, we're told in Galatians, aren't we, that the thing that prevails is not works or legalism or striving, but faith that works by love, which is all part of the grace that God has given us. And so how is it that far from being set free, some, and we could say some of us, are tormented. Some of us are obsessed. Some, if you listen to them, have become obsessed with healing, obsessed with whatever it is they're trying to believe with. Why is that obsession there? Because it's motivated by fear. Faith cannot work by fear or by pride or lust or whatever it is. So that obsession is there. And instead of setting us free, which is what healing and deliverance in the gospel is supposed to do, the cross has come to set us free, we end up with another burden. We end up more bound, we end up more oppressed and obsessed than when we started. Dear friends, never do a thing, I'm going to believe for healing, I'm going to believe for this because I feel I have to. I have to. If I want to be part of this assembly, if I want to be part of the first fruits, I have to believe. Oh friends, don't do a thing because you have to. Do it because you want to. And if you don't want to, that is the exposure. Why don't we want to? That's what we're dealing with. There's something wrong if we don't want to. All the time we have to. Oh, I'm going through this trial, this agony, I'm enduring this pain because I have to believe. Well, you know, compassion, we can feel for that pain, but you're not going to get your deliverance, friends. You're not going to do anything because you have to. God didn't save you because he had to. Quite the opposite. He gave his all because of his love. He wanted to. He chose us. He chose you and I. And he freely chose. That's what it means to have grace. That's what grace is all about. It is a faith that it might be by grace that the promise will be sure to all the seed. Romans 4 and verse 16. If it isn't grace, it isn't faith, the promise can't be sure. Because it's works. And how reliable are man's works? Well, they're not, are they? And that's why it's sin. Oh, friends, this wonderful thing called redemption. God gives his all, man gives his all. And so the glory of this, faith that works by grace, praise God, that grace which sets us free, it's not a tormenting having to, it's not an obsession, but as we rest in faith, it's not an issue anymore, is it? We love the Lord, he loves us, and we rest confident. And there are many, many different ways in which that faith, that confidence, that rest expresses itself. And it's all by the power and presence of Almighty God. It's a working of his Spirit. You see, the point about the new birth, the point about God's sovereignty in this regard, is that he meets his own conditions. Yes, you heard me right. There are conditions to meet. But where we have missed it, friends, we have tried to meet the conditions in our own strength. Faith meets the conditions. When God puts faith in our heart, we begin to seek him. And what is this glorious, glorious truth that has set us free? Well, the life that we now live by faith. We live by faith in the Son of God, who loved us, gave himself for us. When Jesus went round healing, delivering, and how did he know to say to people, your sins be forgiven you? He just spoke the word, didn't he? Be healed, or you've received your healing, or go to the priest. He was fulfilling his priestly role. He knew that wherever somebody was coming to him in faith, that's only possible because why? No one can come to me except the Father drew him. So the fact that people were coming to him, he knew it was the Spirit at work. The Spirit was presenting them. No man can believe except the Spirit's been there and touched and opened the eyes. So he knew the fact that he was always forgiving sins. You know, he would maybe test the hearts, test the spirit, to bring out a cry from the heart of, like that man in Mark 9, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. So he brought it out of them. But once he heard that, he knew that was a spirit at work. And he knows the new covenant, doesn't he? Jesus, he knew that the Father had sent him. These people cannot keep my covenant. They couldn't keep the old covenant, but they will keep this because I'm sending you to keep it on their behalf. And simply by believing in you, that living, active faith, you're going to work in them, both to will and to do. And that's how he knows the conditions are met. So he could pronounce faithfully, your sins be forgiven you, or your faith has made you whole. And praise God, the power of God flowed through him to that individual. And we're now coming into this season, friends, where we believe. Why? Because God is meeting the conditions. The Holy Spirit within us, in working within us a certain obedience in any given matter, as we feed on his word, as we look to him, take our eyes off our circumstances, all of our circumstances, ourself. You see, it's not just being selfish. God isn't just saying don't be selfish. When he says take our eyes off ourselves, he means take our eyes off anything we think we can do to please God, any fleshly or selfish attempt to obey or please God. You see, that the essence of faith, the most important thing about faith, and this is where again we miss it, it's total dependence on God. If we're not willing to live a life of total dependence on God, we've missed faith, and he's not going to bless it when we come to him with a need. Because that's not what our faith is about. Our faith is a lifelong, minute by minute, 24 hours, 7 days a week, a total life, total dependence upon God. And when we've understood that, we then begin to experience the blessing, the power, the work of the Spirit. As we walk by faith, we meet the conditions. Why? Because he's working in us both to will and to do for his good pleasure. He sent Jesus to meet the conditions on our behalf. We now are in him by faith. But more importantly, praise God, or just as importantly, or in our experience, he now dwells within us by his Spirit. So his faith, his obedience, his life and power now living and working in and through us as we believe. Yes, he wants obedience from us. Yes, he wants faith from us. We have an awesome responsibility, but we're back to being totally dependent upon him as we acknowledge that we cannot do these things in our own strength, but as we yield our life completely over to him, he will then begin to take over. Because it's grace. It has got to be grace. While faith is something we do in the sense that it's our faith at work, it's still God's grace. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, because we are his workmanship. It can't be our works, otherwise we'll boast, and we will boast. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has, before the foundation of the earth, God has ordained we should walk in them. Friends, the point is, the reason why God is so absolute about faith and grace, it's only those that are called. It's only those whom God has foreordained before the foundation of the earth that will reveal this. There are many people trying to be religious, with their willpower, their fear, their guilt, their condemnation, trying to obey, trying to meet the conditions, trying to apply faith and the cross, and making a mess of it. Friends, until we have cried out and confessed our utter inability to help God in any way, redeem us, we have just not understood the message of faith. It's time to come clean. Time to be honest. Lord, take over. Because faith is a fruit of the Spirit. John 15 is our salvation. It's abiding in Christ. Now, the point about faith is that man doesn't truly begin to believe until everything else has failed. That's what the Gospels have got that in common. You see people going to Jesus because their scribes and Pharisees, their religion has failed them. They could not get their healing, deliverance, or salvation from the law. Well, especially from the way the priests and the Pharisees at that time made a mockery of the law. See, the law was, there's nothing wrong with the law because God gave it. It's the flesh whereby the law was made ineffective. But had they taught the law properly, it would have led them to Christ. But man, being what he is, hijacked it and used it for his own ends. Anyway, that's another sermon. But they weren't getting it. What they needed, their salvation, their healing, their redemption from the scribes and the Pharisees. Do you remember the woman with the issue of blood? Tried all that she had. She spent the whole living, everything she had for 12 years, on physicians. But instead of improvement, it got worse. There was nothing on offer from man. Do you remember that man that was at the pool there, and he waited for the angel to trouble the water? Jesus went up to him, not the others, just him, singled him out. And he said, "Do you want to be healed?" What a strange question. And so, but he was testing. He was saying, "Wilt thou be made whole? Why are you laying there? Do you actually want to be healed?" And it came out of his heart, didn't he, at that challenge, that test. And what did he say? "Sir, I have no man." What a hopeless state. No man to help me. Put me in the water first. He was just, because he was laying too far away from the pool to get there. That healing under that Old Testament dispensation. And there was the man standing in front of him who was the only one who could provide that healing. The Lord Jesus Christ, praise God. So God sent him to that man to be the answer. And so that's our faith. Everything else has failed us. Man has failed us. Systems have failed us. Religion has failed us. We've tried it all in our rebellion, in our independence from God. Surely there's another way, an easier way than faith and the cross and overcoming. But eventually, because we're called, because God has chosen us from before the foundation of the earth, his hand, that love, that long-suffering, letting us try these things. Although, humanly speaking, it would have offended or broken his heart or hurt him, because why don't they trust me? Why don't they obey me? Okay, I love them. I'm going to let them try this, and I'm going to let them fall flat on their face. I'm going to let them see that themselves and their neighbours and man and the systems and the world and religion, I'm going to let them see it's let them down. I'm going to let them experience that they cannot get their answer from anyone but me.
Glory to God.
What love, what grace that he allows us to go through that and preserves us. Yes. And then brings us back to himself. That gentleness, and yet what power that he wins our hearts, that grace works within our heart. Yes, he's sovereign and we're responsible, but the two meet in that he gives us that new heart, that heart to love him, that heart, that affection to obey and believe and do things his way, as well as the enablement so that we can will and do for his good pleasure. Yes, he alone is the one that's going to meet the conditions. Isaiah 59 and verse 16 says the same thing. He looked and wondered that there was no man, no intercessor. So he said, right, my own arm will intercede. My own arm will bring salvation. I'll raise up that intercessor, Jesus. Praise God, he's working in us. The conditions are being met as we yield to the Holy Spirit. Praise God. But above all, it's that affection. You see, the glory of our faith is that it's a walk of deliverance. There's the aspect of faith. Why? Because Jesus in Matthew 12 said it's when you experience deliverance, know surely that the kingdom of God has come on you. What is the purpose of deliverance? So that Jesus can rule and reign in our lives. He's removing all resistance from within to his righteous rule and reign over our life. The cross and deliverance must work together. Those demons that are there, that are stopping us, let's just go along with that for a minute. Although we're responsible, we have a choice, but we find there's an inner resistance. So those demons, those spirits, based on sin, whether it's our sin or our parents' sin or whatever, somehow a door has been opened. So those demons are there. We can't hear. That demon won't let us hear the word, or won't let us receive the word in our heart. So God is working. He's beginning. He's preparing us to receive deliverance. And then once we've received that deliverance, walk in that and keep it. So it doesn't always happen overnight. But we're in that struggle, aren't we? Those demons, our minds are affected, our affections. But God is at work. He has ordained. He's cleansed us. We're perfect in Christ. Jesus says, it is finished. And as we seek him daily, as we believe him daily, as we seek and continue to seek, and this is the right motive, Lord, that you would rule in my life. That you would truly be Lord in my life. As we seek the cross, this is why Paul said, the one thing that matters to me is that I know him. Yes, okay, praise God, the cross, fellowship, his sufferings, conformable to his death, but that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Not as though he'd already attained, but as we seek first the kingdom. What is that kingdom? Lord, that you would rule over me, reign over me. Because that is the purpose of our deliverance. As we seek that, as we seek his lordship, as we seek his kingdom, demons will flee. Let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you.
Glory.
As we seek that him, that deep abiding, this is the highest prayer, Lord, I seek that deep abiding consistent relationship with you. The demons haven't got a chance. They've got nowhere to hold. The reason demons remain is because there's areas of flesh. They minister to flesh, pride, whatever. And as we indulge that, they have a legal foothold. But as bad off as we are, as we seek him, because he's touched our hearts, he's opened our eyes, because you see, our relationship with him is initiated by grace. It's sustained by grace. It's completed by grace.
Praise the Lord.
And so because of that, as we seek him, he removes those hindrances. He delivers us. He sets us free. He works on our heart. He breaks our heart. The cross, brokenness, repentance, deliverance work together. And as we experience those demons fleeing, he says, know surely the kingdom of God has come unto you. Why? Because now that inner resistance is no longer there, we're more happy to submit to his lordship over our life. We submit, the affection for submitting to his kingship, his rulership, is there. That's the purpose of deliverance. But what did he also say? He said, because the Pharisees blasphemed him at that point, he said, if I, by the Spirit of God, cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? He also said in another place that it is his word that cast out those spirits. He also said in another place, if I, by the finger of God, in other words, pointing. So that authority is directed. It's that discernment, that authority, and the Holy Spirit. Let's put it all together. That anointed word. God is now bringing us to a place in our faith where we experience manifestations of the Holy Spirit. That is the next thing God is bringing us to. He's cleansing his temple. He's preparing his temple that it may be a fit habitation for his Spirit. So you say, well, hasn't God been present with us all the time? Yes, dear friends. That's why we're still here. But it's how he manifests. Up till now, it's been endurance, endurance, endurance. Because that is the divine purpose. Whatever faith is, It's according to God's will. He is fulfilling a redemptive purpose. So for a season, it's been preparation, and it will be preparation. He's been preparing through trials, through tests, through endurance. And that's still going to continue. But everything God says and does has behind it that glorious redemptive purpose. And our problem has been fear, oh, judgment, and oh, condemnation, and the devil. And the Father's heart is redemptive. Hallelujah. When he sent Jonah to Nineveh, he spoke 5 words in the Hebrew, and they were all judgment. Yet 40 days, Nineveh destroyed. But what happened? The Father's heart is revealed in that anointing, the presence of God. The whole city, including the children and the animals, went on a 40-day fast of repentance. Totally supernatural. Yes. Revealing the heart of the Father. Yeah. Yeah. Because they believed the preaching of Jonah. And so that generation got saved. And that is how grace works. Because the word of faith has been given to us, and we're now seeking, we're believing what God has said about this end time, the great tribulation and the fullness of Christ and Antichrist coming up. We're believing what God is saying, so he's working that redemption within us. Now, it's a glorious thing, this redemption, because we're talking about how faith comes by grace. We're not to torment ourselves with legalism or trying to do a thing, but allow that faith to work. If you think about the whole thing that our vision is, perfection and preparation, restoration, you know, all the things that God is doing with us, glorification, manifestation, the one thing in our experience that touches all of those things is redemption. God cannot perfect what he hasn't sanctified. God cannot prepare what he hasn't saved, can he? God can't manifest what he hasn't called, what he hasn't started. Everything that God is doing in a world view with the body of Christ, the overcomers, he's doing personally with you and I through this glorious thing called redemption. And because we're sanctified, we're going to be perfected. Because we have the spirit of sonship within us, one day we're going to be manifested and glorified. Praise God. We have the hope of this vision within us because of the faith, that seed of faith that God has placed within us and is now bringing to perfection. But as I started to say, God is now bringing us into the next thing he has for us. Because there is a redemptive purpose for instant manifestations. So in order to fulfill that redemptive purpose, he will anoint us with the gift of faith. All the time, his redemptive purpose is fulfilled by the fruit of faith, then that's the only reason the manifestation hasn't taken place. Because he's working within us that endurance, that faith, that obedience, that humility, that total dependence on him. That's the only reason. It's not because he hates us and he likes to see us suffer. He has a Some of us think that, though, don't we? Secretly, deep in our heart, Lord, you know I need this manifestation. Why hasn't it happened? You know my pain. Why hasn't it happened? And secretly, we listen to the devil. God doesn't love you. This doesn't work. There's a sin in your life that God's dealing with. Well, yeah. But don't let's forget the redemptive heart of our Father. It's not an arbitrary thing. There is a redemptive purpose that God is fulfilling through our faith as we endure in that trial. Because we have received it if we believe it. Yes. The only question is the manifestation. But some of us aren't too sure whether or not we've actually received it yet, are we? That's why we struggle. That's why we fight with it. But if we've received, we will rest in that. And that's the great giveaway. That's the great telltale sign. Are we in peace and are we rejoicing? Or are we still in agony? It's the same with the cross. Are we yielded to that experience? As much as it hurts? And never mind tears. Tears are not a contradiction. Let the tears flow. Let the tears flow. But in our hearts, have we yielded to that experience? Or are we resisting the cross? The sin is in the resistance, not the fact that it's taking a while. Are we resisting the cross? That's where our agony is. Now, yes, it's going to hurt anyway, but it'll hurt much more by resisting it. But as we let the cross bring about the death of flesh and self, we experience the Holy Spirit bringing about life and resurrection. Because that is our faith. Praise God. That's why, if it isn't that faith, it's sin. You know, something glorious has happened to us in that faith. And it has different ways of expressing itself. But let's have a look in Ezekiel 47. Something truly glorious. And this is where people get it so wrong. I pray God would open their eyes. But friends, let's experience the glorious thing that redemption is. It's wonderful. It's not a... Oh, I've got to go to church again. Oh, I suppose I better read my Bible. I'm going through a trial now. I've got to feed on my faith. Oh, dear. Remember, God didn't do anything because he felt he had to. He's done it because of love. It's a relationship. And that love is being reflected in the way we are with him. But in Ezekiel 47, the first 12 verses of Ezekiel 47, but it's speaking of this cleansing river from the temple. There's a pure water flowing from the temple, the first 12 verses. It's rather long, but let's have a look here. And it speaks in verse 12. Let's look at verse 12. But the whole thing, verses 1 to 12, for that context, speak of that glorious river, that cleansing river. Analogous, praise God, of the Holy Spirit within us. But let's look at verse 12. It says, along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not... Well, this is going to happen in the millennium. Beginning the millennium. So their leaves will not wither, their fruit will not fail. So it's not just going to be, you know, that promise in Psalm 1 in due season. This is a perpetual. Their leaves will never wither. Their fruit will constantly be there. They will bear fruit every month. Every month they will bear fruit because their water flows from the sanctuary. Do you see that? Because the water comes from God. Because the water comes from the temple that he's cleansed. No disease. No death, no barrenness. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine, for healing. And we have that down payment, that earnest of that inheritance living within us. Our inheritance, this begins now by redemption, because what? That river flows from the sanctuary in and through us. That cleansing. Don't try to be holy. God has sanctified you. You're already as holy now as you ever will be. Let the Holy Spirit drive that sin from your heart. Just as he's going to cleanse and drive the death and the dirt and stuff from what we see here. It's the same principle. It's beginning now by faith. Don't try to purify yourself. Let the faith do it. As you read the word, as you love the Lord and acknowledge that that's what you need, because we do, praise God. But that's why he's given us his word. That's why we come to these meetings. That's why we speak in tongues. Praise God, this faith, there is a speaking faith. And it's as we walk in the Spirit each day, we know whether we're to speak, whether we're to pray. Do you know a lot of our praying, and again, this is... I'm not against praying, don't get me wrong, don't ever get that from any of my messages, but we're talking about, remember what we said about the obsession. Some of us pray and pray and pray because we're obsessed with a thing. It's not because we believe God has delivered us. See, the purpose of our prayer, well, I'll get back into that, but the point is, we already have the victory, and unless we're praying from a place of faith that already has the victory, it's because we're praying in fear. We're praying because we're obsessed. We're praying because that's, we're obsessed because that's all we think about. We're not actually feeding on God's faithfulness, on his word. Our faith is not based on the promise, and therefore our prayers are just a lot of activity and hot air. They're not actually, God isn't actually hearing or receiving them. But if we knew that we were praying according to God's will, then we would begin to see the difference, because we're resting by faith. What is our prayer really all about? What is the ultimate? Why do we really pray? Why should we pray? Well, there's a prayer inspired by the promises, and the only reason we pray for that is so that we get an answer. But what is, isn't it? We're not being religious. I trust that's the only valid reason we pray, is because we want an answer. But the point about that process, that creative process, God, yes, he knows our needs. But if you think about really what our prayers are about, our prayers are an expression of faith to maintain our union with Christ. They're an expression of faith to maintain our union with Christ, because many fall away because of a trial. When Israel rebelled, she broke the covenant God had made with her, and in breaking that covenant, in rebelling, in walking in an independent, proud, arrogant spirit away from God, she repudiated her election. She said, this is what I think of your covenant, this is what I think of you, this is what I think of the fact that from all eternity you called me. And so God said, right, I'm going to save a remnant. There will be some in every generation, but there will be a remnant that I will save. A saved, a cleansed, a redeemed, humble, holy remnant, according to my grace. Praise God, Jew and Gentile. And so you and I are enduring. We're still here this evening because of that grace.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God indeed.
Yes.
And so our prayers, if you look through Scripture, the Holy Spirit making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Why? Because he knows what is the heart and mind of the Spirit and makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done for you, be done of you by my Father. Why? So that he can be glorified. Ask what you desire, ask what you will. Because if his word is abiding within us, our will, our desire is an expression of his will. Of course it will come to pass. So our prayers really, our highest prayer and the real motive for our prayer, and including our warfare, our spiritual warfare, yes, we're binding and loosing, but it's that our union with Christ would not only be maintained but strengthened. Because it's the Holy Spirit's ministry, friends. Have we fully understood the Holy Spirit's ministry in that union? He started it. That's his function. That's his ministry. He will maintain it. He will complete and perfect it. The Holy Spirit. But what has the Holy Spirit given us in order for that process, that walk to work? He's given us faith. In every situation, God's grace is that measure of faith. And that faith needs to be expressing itself. If it's truly there, that living, active faith, quickened by the Spirit, we'll know when to pray. We'll know when to confess. We will praise God. We will yield. We will rest. We will rise up under that anointing. And this is the whole point about the next thing that God is bringing us to. When the Holy Spirit manifests in a certain way, because of that relationship, that will quicken our faith. So when the Holy Spirit, in accordance to God's will, is working deliverance, our faith will be for that deliverance. We'll have the faith for that, because that's how the Holy Spirit is working. That's how Jesus worked. I do nothing except the Father shows me. Said, if I by the Spirit, see, if Jesus himself, the Son of God, whose faith was perfect, said, it's not me, it's the Father. If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, not by my faith, but by the Spirit of God. Yes, he could have done it by his own faith, but he's setting the pattern for our ministry. Our faith is quickened by the presence and power of the living God. Yes. Praise God, it's a relationship. The apostles went everywhere preaching the word, and I love this in Mark 16, the Lord went with them, working with them. The Lord was working with them, confirming that sign, that word with signs and wonders. Because that's his word. It's that divine, it's that partnership. It's almost like it's unilateral, isn't it? It's not really a partnership because God's done it all. But our faith, his presence. Our faith is a gift from him. So do you see now this thing of sovereignty not to be feared? If we're not actually resting in the grace, the love, the power of God, it's because there's fear there. We've misunderstood what God is saying. God in his sovereignty, his grace, he's given us the new birth, given us the new heart, put his heart, his spirit within us. Place that seed of faith that is growing to fullness. He's given us everything, his provision. God can't start something he isn't going to complete. God can't do half a job. He's given us it all. And he'll bring it to completion. And the next thing, you see the preparation that God is doing. He's coming back for the bride, the first fruits, the five wise virgins. And this is the preparation. We're getting that oil. As we go through our trials, our faith is being prepared and strengthened. Our hearts are being prepared to receive that anointing, but our faith is being purified. We're being cleansed. That deliverance aspect, as we begin to seek God, he's removing fear and unbelief and those resistance. But as we begin to see the full restoration, that apostolic ministry that's beginning to perfect, you know, the overcoming bodies, and as we begin to see that and experience it, as we see the full restoration, teachers going here, there and everywhere, as the Spirit leads, to bring about this perfection, not them, but the anointing, the presence of the Holy Spirit, to bring about the perfection of the overcomers, the fullness of the first fruit, preparing for the former, the latter rain, anointing that's going to bring that about, then we know that this is the last few pages of the last chapter of the church's history. Why? Because that's God perfecting the overcomers to take them away. We are so close. We are so close. Because God is preparing his temple to inhabit, so that he takes over. And the different manifestations, the gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, are going to fulfill his redemptive purpose. All because, friends, why? Because we're believing God. And we're acknowledging the fact that that faith is a gift of his grace. Yes. Oh, praise God. Isn't this glorious? Yes. Isn't this a wonderful redemption?
Amen.
And yet we're still, somehow, my concern is we're still obsessing, we're still tormenting ourselves through legalism or fear or pride or trying to appropriate something. And you say to me, well, isn't that what this walk is all about? That we must learn to appropriate by faith what God has given us. Dear friends, it comes back to the power of the Holy Spirit again. He has been sent by God to fulfill that ministry in our life.
Yes.
He is the advocate. He has come to see to it that we appropriate all that Christ died for us to have. He is the one, he is that executor that will see to it that we inherit our inheritance. So how do we appropriate? Yield to the Holy Spirit. Instead of feeling and trying that I have to believe, otherwise I'm not an overcomer, say, Father, I can't believe at the moment because I'm tormented by fear. I can't believe at the moment because I'm full of unbelief, or whatever the thing would be. Lord, you've exposed wrong motives. There's something wrong, because in my heart I don't really want to believe. I know that's sin. Lord, please give me that godly affection. Father, give me your heart in this. I acknowledge my need of your grace so that I want to believe, to glorify you. And of course God will then begin to work, and you'll find God's grace working. And faith is just like a blessing, a privilege. You may experience that hurting, that the attack of the enemy, but it'll be from the outside, and that shield of faith will put to flight all the arrows of the wicked one, will quench the fiery darts. Faith is a rest. It is a rest. Yes, trials, but faith will stand the test. Why haven't we been experiencing it? Because we haven't understood that faith, that kind of faith, is developed, is worked when we renounce an independent spirit, that pride, that independent spirit, and submit to a daily walk of total dependence upon God. Every day acknowledge him. Acknowledge him that we need his work. Well, I, as a gardener, I need him to work. I need good weather. I acknowledge him for weather. I acknowledge that my breakfast is his gift. It is. Every single thing. The next breath in my lung is because of his grace.
Amen.
It really is, friends. I live because he lives. I live because he has a plan for my life. There is a redemptive purpose for my ministry. God is emptying this vessel. There's no independence. I live because he has decreed I live. Praise God. We're coming to a place before God,
yes,
where the only reason for our existence is that, yes, he loves us. Sure. Loves us, called us from before the foundation of the world. But he has a redemptive purpose for you and I. And it's only as we place our bodies on that altar, that living sacrifice, that we will experience the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. It's the only way we're going to experience his full redemptive purpose, is that altar, that living sacrifice. Elijah repaired the altar, didn't he? Put it all in order, in obedience to God. Then the fire fell. Didn't have to work anything up. Just called on God, right, Lord, I've done this according to your word, and now hear the prayer of your servant. So there's that relationship. Acknowledge me as your servant. Down came the fire, and the whole thing was burnt, including the stone and the water. It was all licked up by the fire of God. Supernatural. And God is restoring the altar in this end time through the word. And as we obey and do things his way, the fire's going to fall.
That's it.
Praise God. Oh, hallelujah.
Glory.
The fire will not fall if we get on the altar and think, oops, what have I done? What have I done? The cost of this is too great. Let me just get off a minute. We get off and enjoy our life for a while. But praise God.
Glory.
We wonder why we're a bit miserable. We still go to church and we hear about all these people that are being crucified, and we feel very uncomfortable in their presence because they're going through trials that, well, there's no way I could go through that. Well, no, because you haven't even begun to seek God, have you? You can't seek God apart from the cross.
That's right, yeah.
God's will is not going to be revealed to you until you've done the first thing, which is, praise God, give yourself to the cross. Because that is our faith. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, the Son of God. And that faith of the Son of God cannot happen till I'm crucified with Christ. That's what our faith is for. The apostles insisted that this is the highest goal of our walk. None of me, all of Jesus. And there's the fullness of our faith, the fruit of the Spirit working in us and through us, because we don't want any of it for ourselves. It's all, why? For God's ultimate purpose, for the redemption of mankind, or the elect, the proclamation, establishment of his kingdom on earth, of which we know there are three aspects. That's another sermon, but it's about his kingdom. And we looked at that, didn't we? The earnest, the actual experience of that has been placed within us by the Spirit. We should be now beginning to experience the life-giving, delivering, healing power, indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that is the next thing that God is now bringing us to. We'll continue to wait on him. Remember, we're not going to work anything up, but as we receive this in our hearts and begin to believe now that God will, in his faithfulness, in his mercy, begin to reveal the next thing in our experience, that is specific manifestations of his power and presence, whether it be gifts or in whatever way he seeks to manifest himself, we're going to move into that.
Amen.
Israel's faith, let's closing in, because it was in Israel, how much more now us? If it was the old covenant, how much more us? In Exodus 33, in closing, however long that takes, praise God.
Glory.
So Exodus chapter 33, we'll start with, we'll look at verse 2. So the Lord is giving certain commands to Moses, and he says in verse 2, chapter 33 of Exodus, and verse 2, I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite and the Amorite and the Hittite, Perizzite, Hivite and the Jebusite. Who's going to do it? God will. Why? He's going to go before and prepare the way. This is our next experience. This is our intercession. This is why we're praying to maintain that union and warring in the Spirit. Because Jesus said, those who take the kingdom, it's the violent will take the kingdom by force. And he is moving in and removing. He is going to drive out the principalities and powers, the giants and the Jerichos before us. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
He's going to do that as we seek him and wait on him. And then going further down in the same chapter. So that's the first step. We'll start with verse 7. Go from 7. He says, Moses took his tent, pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone, listen, it's not all of them, but everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose. Each man stood at his tent door, watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. It came to pass, Moses entered the tabernacle, that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. The whole point of our faith, old or older new covenant and New Testament, is that we serve the living God. He was literally present. That's the point. Why have we got faith? For religion? No, for his presence, his actual presence. This is what makes our faith living. It's because he's with us. It's called Emmanuel. He is with us. It's not a figure of speech. Praise God. We're not alone. We're not on our own. As he makes himself present in whatever way. Now, yes, praise God, there was a way that Israel had to approach the living God. Couldn't just blunder into his presence. System of sacrifice, the priesthood, the blood, you know, that atonement, that covering. Praise God. But we have that covering, do we not? Our faith in the blood of Jesus. The covering, that atonement, that reconciliation, whereby we can stand before his presence. Now he's preparing us for that. He's cleansing, removing. And the main thing he's removing is the sin of doubt and unbelief. That fear. Because the presence of doubt and unbelief indicates the presence of something else. So as he removes that sin, we have a true heart, a full assurance of faith. We come boldly into his presence, and praise God, he comes graciously into our presence. We meet with the living God, and gifts will manifest. Why? Because he has a redemptive purpose that must be fulfilled.
Yes.
And this is the generation chosen to conclude history. It's nothing we've done. It's not like we're going around saying, well, we are the people. That's not what we're saying at all. God forbid. He is the God. And he's chosen us, and he will fulfill his redemptive will in us and through us, as we believe. Oh, dear friends, it's letting God be God. Just believe him. Jesus said, only believe. And they asked him, what is the work that we must work? And he said, oh, no, he didn't. I would have said that. But he said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who sent me. And this is the work of God. It's God's work that we believe on him. And he's working that faith in us. And all we're doing is believing on him. And he's doing the rest. Why then, you say in closing, why then did Jesus say, your faith has made you whole? I thought faith is a substance. Yeah, but how do we get that substance? He knew that because somebody was believing, the Spirit was working. And that was the Father's will for him to heal or whatever, pronounce that forgiveness. Praise God. Who gave us that faith in the first place? And so he who began a good work in us will complete it until the day of Christ. Oh, praise God, dear friends. Cease striving. Relax. Don't do anything because you think you have to. Do it because you want to. And if you don't want to, admit it and ask God to put the want to in there. And he will. Because he loves you and I. He's only exposing it so that he can set us free, deliver us, and fill us with his love, grace, mercy, spirit, presence, and yes, power. Those gifts. If Jesus was anointed with the gifts, Acts 10:38, why do we think we're going to accomplish anything without them? Read Acts 10:38. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. Who went about, and with power, didn't just say the Holy Spirit, didn't just say power, with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Why? Because God was with him. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God, and is he not with us?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Glory to the living God. Let him do it, friends. Glory.